Series of messages called Kingdom Discipleship Series. Kingdom Discipleship. I have a little statement here. It says, a modern day disciple of Jesus is a person who is actively learning to bring every aspect of his or her life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Would you read that with me? A modern day disciple of Jesus is a person who is actively learning to bring every aspect of his or her life under the Lord of Jesus. Amen. I have a wonderful picture here, kind of gives us an idea of that. Have you ever seen this before? Where this is a businessman and he's just seeking to do just that. He's saying, Lord, I need some help. And Jesus is giving. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It shows us that we can sit down and receive from the Lord's heart to us. My message title today is God Can Make Something of You. God can make something of you. I've got a little string of four scriptures here, and then we'll launch into the message. I love finding these pictures. Aren't they cool? John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Read this part with me. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're talking about following Jesus. Then Matthew 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of you just want to just jump up and down and say, yay, this is my favorite verse. Oh boy, yay. Hot diggity dog. Now, this is one of those verses that has like a sword, you know. You're heading this way and you like this way and this is the way you like and you want to do this way. And the Lord says this way. And you go, no, I don't want to go that way. And then you go through the issues of the God dealing with the issues of your soul and the propensities to go places you shouldn't go. Is that right? And you finally discover that there's actual joy in living when you submit to his way. 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul says the same thing. He says, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So Paul picks up the charge, and Paul is saying too, says, hey, look, I'm going to follow the Lord, and you follow me as I follow him. This is how Paul is doing it. It's about nine different times in the New Testament Paul says that. He says, you should follow me, imitate me, do what I do. And Paul, man, goodness, you learn how to do everything. Prayer, you'll walk in the Spirit, all kinds of things that the maturing person. By the way, the nature of what's going on today, I'm going to speak the things that are, if you're just starting your walk with Jesus and it's brand new in it, or if you're just, looking into thinking about it, or if you've been around for a long, long time, my prayer is that something in here will feed and nourish and cause your heart to step it up. And our last verse here, Matthew 7:13 and 14. Read this with me. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. How many of you found out when you turned to Jesus, some of your friends didn't like it? You started to walk with the Lord and suddenly you find there's ridicule. In this culture today, you stand for Jesus and you're supposed to be called some kind of a hater. And that all you're doing is loving people and you're learning how to love people better. I found out that the Lord says, hey, this right here, I don't want this in your life. And it was painful to let go of that in my life. But there are other people promoting that's the way of life. And if you don't accept them in that way of life, I'm going, there's a conflict here because Jesus told me to get rid of this. And you're saying that I'm a hater if I don't accept you in it. Well, I accept you. You know, the deal is I love people no matter where they're at. I didn't start off that way. This has been under the grind of going through things for years, and the Lord bringing somebody that just tests you and see if you'll care about them as much as you care about people who are like you. How many of you go through those things? These are challenges, aren't they? And you discover, Jesus can love anybody. Jesus does love everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He loved everybody. He loves you right where you are. I love this old saying. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way too. God can make something of you. God can make something of you. So, I don't know if there's anything more pleasing to see than a person who comes to the Lord and starts off feeble in their faith, and then they just keep at it, and they keep at it. And you begin to see over a period of time, maybe a year or two, their lives begin to be put together. And the Lord does all these things in their life. And they're not only thriving in their walk with Jesus, they're not only learning how to live in Him and make Him Lord over every area, but they're also, you can see the manifestation of the blessing of the Lord in any kind of thing they put their hands to. That's the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord, you honor me, I honor you. You listen to me, I make you successful, fruitful, blessed. I cause things to go right in your life that couldn't go right any other way. In fact, the atmosphere of what we're in, it's not just this church, of course, it's the presence of God. It's the Spirit of the God. It's like a place where when you're outside, it's kind of like I lived next door years ago, and I was a little kid. We kind of snuck over there, but we went in a greenhouse. My neighbor had a greenhouse. And there were things that you could plant and grow in the greenhouse that you couldn't grow outside very well, right? So there's an atmosphere for that. And there's an atmosphere in the kingdom of God that there's seeds that will grow when you're in the presence of the Lord that won't grow outside of His presence. And so therefore, so how many of you have been away from the Lord and of His people? You may be, you know, with the Lord, but you're away from His people, away from fellowship, away from all those, and you begin to dry up. There's something about that causes our spirit and life to thrive when we come before Him and behold Him and worship Him. So people who give their total life over to the Lord come to realize that God can make something of you, and it's pretty good what God can do. God can make something of you. He can take the raw material of your life, all your mistakes, all your bad choices, all your lack of wisdom, all your poor decisions, even years of adamant rebellion, and God can make something of you when you come and surrender everything. Isn't it good? He can make something of you because He's the master of restoring the broken places in your life. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah, our Savior Jesus, would make beauty out of ashes. Beauty out of ashes. You can burn out in life. You can implode. You can come apart. And Jesus Christ will gather all that up and make something so beautiful that reflects who He is. It is extraordinary, His ability. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And He tells these Pharisees, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." He says, "For I call not the righteous, but the sinners." I think that's one of the key things that I've had to learn is the Lord doesn't accept us on our good merits. He accepts us on will we be honest with where we are and what we are. And when we offer that to Him, He begins to work within us, something that we couldn't do in ourselves. God can make something of you because He knows the real you. He's got your blueprint. He knows you inside and out, and He knows what He designed you for. Even way back before you were started in the womb, God knew you personally. This is one of those mysteries, but this is the truth. The Bible says before the foundation of the world, He had already chosen you in Christ Jesus. Tell somebody next to you, God knew you before you knew you. Guess what? God can make something good of you, very good of you. Listen to this. Tell the person next to you this. Say, God has already picked you. He picked you a long time before you even existed in this realm. This is amazing because this is the truth. This actually, we're doing this study in Ephesians, and it's right in the beginning of the book that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Before, this doesn't even make sense. Before God said, "Let there be light," He already had you specifically in mind. He's God, right? There's billions and billions of stars. There's billions of people. He knows everybody. He knew when you were going to show up in this life. That's kind of overwhelming to think. Most people think, well, you know, He knew of mankind. No, He knew you. He said that to Jeremiah. Says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Paul realized he was separated out to God. In the womb, God says, he'd chosen you. He's chosen you. Tell somebody, you're handpicked. Now, we'll say this. You know, when I was little, in our neighborhood, we would all go, somebody would come out, and we had dirt roads out the front, and somebody would call. He would play either football or stickball, you know, whatever. And somebody would call out, you know, we're going to play. And they'd call. And we'd all go out in the middle of the street, and then they'd choose up sides. And if you didn't answer the call, you didn't get chosen to be on a team. Many are called, but few are chosen. You got to show up. When the Lord begins to draw you to himself, he calls you. And then you begin to follow him, and he chooses you. Now, but you've already been chosen, but you got to show up. There are so many situations in life that have been like that. How many of you resisted the Lord saying, I want you to do this? You go, some other time. Oh, man. What I've done is always grin and bear it. You go through the stuff. But here's the beauty of it. The very first thing that the Lord does when you respond to him, when you begin to put your total trust in Jesus Christ for what he has done for you, he goes right down to the courthouse of heaven. He's already filled out your adoption papers. And he files your papers, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The first thing he's got to do, he's got to put you in a family and fill you with his love. How many of you know that that's like a priority to Jesus? You got to know his love. Most of our bad attitudes are because we don't know his love for us. It takes us some time to be convinced in the depths of his love for you. And every single person has a streak of insecurity running down their spine. Everybody. And God wants to pour his love into you, lavish you with the depths of his grace. And the more you honest you are about your failures before him, the more free you begin to be. It's amazing. So the Lord, he adopts you. I want to say that God can make something of you. I want to just throw this out here. Even if you can't read. I have known several people who are terrible readers and even hated to try to read, but they gave their lives to Jesus and began reading the Bible. And Heather's got her hand up. And the Holy Spirit began to teach how to read. I had a friend, Erwin Stoss, didn't know how to read at all. Opened the Bible. And I've heard of several others that begin to just say the word. The Holy Spirit taught them how to read. They could read other stuff after that, but the Holy Spirit taught. Just reading the Bible teaches them how to read. And they didn't have to feel ashamed that they couldn't read anymore because the Holy Spirit taught them how. And it made it easier to read anything. Now also, God can make something of you even if you have failed. I learned something recently that in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for mercy is plural. It's mercies. And in the Old Testament, the word for sin is singular. It's not plural. It's singular. And so no matter how many singulars show up, you got plenty of plural to take care of it. It doesn't matter how many sin, the mercies of God cover everything. And here's the other thing about the mercy of God. The mercy of God in the New Testament, Elios or something, it's basically says it's for healing the misery that is due to the consequence of sin. Now, it can't remove the shame and guilt. Grace. Grace comes and removes the sin and the guilt and the shame. Grace takes that. That's the grace of God, the empowerment of God. But mercy heals the residual damage. Mercy heals the damage of our sin. Isn't that wonderful? So you can't, there's nothing that, unless, if you failed, you turn it over to the Lord and he begins to heal the damage. That's his mercies that does that. How many of you want to plug into the mercies even today? Say, I need. So we're going to come upon our communion time, and we're going to invite the Lord through the mercy of when we take the communion, we take the bread and the wine, the bread and the cup. We take those together, and there's a mercy application to our souls. There's a healing, and there's physical healings that happen. There's healings of the soul that happen. There's healings just of the distance between people. People get away and do things, and there's a distance that they feel hell will come and breathe on their neck and cause them to feel that whatever they've done is too far. You'll never get back. And the Lord says, you will get back. You will get back. I will take care of that distance, because he's drawn everybody who was afar off. He's drawn them near by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus takes everybody who's been far away and brings them close and annihilates those things that are an offense to God, because Jesus came to die for the reality of your sin and everything that, you know, we are a crisis-based culture. People stay in crisis. They go from one crisis to the next until they're healed on the inside. I was one of those crisis-based people because of the shame of my sin. I would get to a certain point and then start over again. And to a certain point, start over again. And the Lord broke me out of that. He took the blood of the Lamb, and he caused me to rise up in the midst of that failure and begin to give me hope. I could be better than that. Tell somebody next to you, God can make something of you. You don't have to be in the cycle of failure. You don't have to fail and then, oh no, next year I'll fail at the same time. Oh no, next year I'll fail at the... How many of you realize throughout the year there's some people have maybe some certain kind of a loss, and they get to that part of the year and this thing just rises up. Maybe somebody was really just aggressively did some painful things. I wouldn't tell your testimony right now, but Christmases can be rough for some folks, isn't that right? Because somebody can turn, can rob something, and you come to that point of year, and you know, I don't want to do this. And Jesus steps in and says, I'm going to heal with my mercy everything that went wrong with you, and I'm going to cause it. This time of year is going to be a celebration. A celebration in Christ Jesus. I want to have this to be a meaningful time of communion. And so as I'm speaking, I want you to, whatever begins to draw to the surface in your heart, whatever begins to come up, the Lord may bring up something. You know, here's kind of how it works, guys. You get this kind of a raw place in your soul. You go along and you don't recognize it, but you kind of empty out some things, and you get in a certain situation, and it's like a trigger, and you just kind of foment and act out in that little spot right there, and the Lord, and you come around again, and you keep doing it, and then you say, I don't know what's wrong with me. Now, many people, they'll just go, well, that's just the way I am. But if you're walking with Jesus, then he'll bring up that little place and say, hey, bring that to me. Bring that. And it may go back to some little moment in your childhood or somewhere in your recent dates of your life. And the Lord steps in and says, I'm going to release you from the captivity that you experience when you get in that situation. Usually it's because love was robbed from your life. Usually it's because some kind of a shame moment happened. Usually it's because you felt abandoned or rejected. Usually it has to do with some raw spot in the soul that you have an experience in life that Jesus hasn't got into yet. And you feel alone without him. Are you with me? And I'm telling you today, I wouldn't even plan on saying this, but that's part of the cleansing, part of the working, part of the work of the Holy Spirit is when we're talking about these things, how many of you have had the Lord bring something up in your mind that he wants you to deal with, and then you go, I don't want to deal with it. How many of you resisted it and stuff? Again, it wants to do it because it deals with what? It may be your pride. I don't want to say I'm sorry for that thing I did. I don't want to be the one that has to humble his heart. Boy, isn't pride just a real rip? You know, there's this strife. It breeds strife. You know, it just causes problems. The Bible teaches that. Okay, I want to get into the next part here. I want to just say God can make something of you. Just show up. Just show up. Just show up. Quit running. You need to be around people who are seeking after God, worshiping Jesus, serving one another, blessing each other, encouraging each other with words. Be around people who read the Bible. Whenever you are in your walk with God, don't draw the line in the sand and say, okay, I've grown enough. I've learned enough. I've served enough. I've grown enough. Don't let anything rob your passion for Jesus Christ. Those are the temptations. Something will come along, and you just, well, you know, I just, you start to slow down. Don't slow down. Just tell somebody, just get your passion for Jesus right on. Just stir up your flame in your heart. Come on, guys. You might need to renew your passion today. Start telling the Lord, I'm starting fresh with you today. And here you go. Ask for a passage of Scripture that you can feed your heart on. The Lord's opened up something to me recently. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you in a greater way. And let me say, when the Lord gives you a Scripture, don't just read it one day. I'm telling you, there are certain passages of Scripture that you're beholding the Lord as you're reading this. You may be in that same chapter for 2 months, but as long as you're beholding Jesus and He's doing that work, you just keep eating that meal. You just keep renewing your spirit, your mind. You stay in that. Somebody needs to really say, I need to open the Word and be in the presence of God in His holy Word more today. Because there's things that will steal and rob and take away. Don't be concerned about reading the whole thing and just kind of skimming across the surface. Go just dig a well and go deep somewhere and allow the Lord to begin to nourish. I'm on a theme here. You cannot surrender everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ if you don't know Him. And the Lord wants to transform you. Read this with me. When God is big in your life, your problems get small. When God is small in your life, your problems get big. You are in charge of what gets big and small. Now, I want you to elbow somebody next to you right there. Just kind of, that's you. Jerk yourself out of, well, everything's always big and against me all the time. You know, I got my problems so huge. Yeah, that's your fault. You've just whittled God down to be like little tiny ant. Is I hope, maybe just should I stand up here on the top and yell and ask for conviction to fall? My desire is that we're a people who have a passionate desire to be in God's presence and know Him during these last days. You've heard this before, but you know, we're getting toward the end of the season, and Jesus is going to come back. And sometimes they in sports and stuff, let me just say this. They've saved their best players. You want to be the best player? You're in this for Jesus. You're in this for Him. Are you in this for Him? Everybody's like real quiet. Can we read this one more time? When God is big in your life, your problems get small. When God is small in your life, your problems get big. You are in charge of what gets big and small. Let's go to the next one. What you focus on is what you make room for. What you focus on is what you make room for. This is just words of wisdom. These are things to say, hey, I need to make some adjustments in how I'm approaching my life. When you gaze upon the risen Christ, it produces spiritual transformation within you. That's what I'm saying. When you get a passage of Scripture, you begin to soak in that and return to that and dig a well there and begin to know the Lord there and let Him begin to speak. Have a passage of Scripture. Just seek the Lord and just sit there and let tears rise out of your heart and let a renewed work of the Spirit of God happen in you. Let Jesus become so vibrantly alive inside of your life. Again, a modern-day disciple of Jesus is a person who is actively learning to bring every aspect of his or her life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it really doesn't matter what the area is. It's every area. The way you speak, the attitude of your heart, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, to even what your goals are. Every aspect of life comes under the Lordship of Jesus. And then In that sense, there's a blessing of the Lord that's carried into your life, and He causes you. Here's the thing: whatever endeavor, if it succeeds or not, you're with the Lord in it, and He's always there with you, That's a mature perspective. The Lord's with you. If I go up, I go down. He's with me. Now, there's to a modern-day disciple, Jesus is at least these three things. Say, he's my substitute, my example, and my life source. So a substitute is a person or thing that can take the place or function of another. Jesus is our substitute. The Bible says God shows his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. So Jesus became sin who knew no sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He takes this swap. He goes, you're the sinner and I'm not. And I'm going to take all your sin and I'm going to take all the sin and die for it in your place. I'm your substitute. Everybody say substitute. There are so many people that get it wrong because they think that they can somehow earn their way into heaven. It's just impossible. It doesn't work at all. You cannot do that. There's nothing. We talked about that last Sunday. There's nothing you can do to come and bring merit. It's kind of like swimming to Hawaii. You can be a great swimmer, but you know, go ahead and take your shot at it. You're not going to make it to heaven, no matter how morally right you are. Jesus died for you. You're not that good. Amen. I didn't know where the joke would show up, but that seemed like what about the... By the way, here is the joke. Ready? The police are looking for Mother Nature because they believe she's bipolar and she's off her meds. Okay. Just the weather has been nuts. Somebody said it was January 74th. Okay. Jesus is your substitute. Secondly, Jesus is your example, the one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated, depending on what kind of example. Jesus is our example, is a good example. And in John 13, there's a story of Jesus. I love this part where it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father, look at this, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Now that's confidence. Jesus knew who he was. Knowing that he'd come from God, going back to God, he says that he had come, that he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist, and they poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel and that he had wrapped around him. And of course, we have that part where Peter was just really reacting to all this. We'll get past this part and say, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and returned and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? Well, listen to this. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Jesus is saying, I'm your example. I had this friend I mentioned a minute ago. He was taught how to read the Bible by the Holy Spirit. He was just to read it in general. And this is really messed up, what I'm about to say, but he had a mistress. He was married and he had a mistress. And then his wife and his mistress got together. His life is in massive turmoil. And see, he goes off experimenting. And he goes into deep, dark sin. Heather and I are home group leaders at the Church on the Way. Jack Hayford one Sunday morning says, here's a map where all the home groups are. Pick one near your home. I get a phone call. It's Irwin. You're the closest home group to me. Looking forward to having you. Irwin comes in. Shame like clothing. this guy is overwhelmed with all of the wicked things he gave himself to. You know what happens? The Lord speaks to me. Not right then, but within a couple of weeks, the Lord speaks to me. He says, wash his feet. I said, yes, Lord. I got a bowl. I got a towel. I sat down. Got Irwin to sit there. Took his shoes off. Took off his socks. Began to wash his feet. And a miracle happened. All the shame left him. Everything that he had done that had defined who he was as a wicked man left him. The Lord was saying, I don't care where you've walked. I'm going to go ahead and wash not only where you walked, but I'm going to wash everything you did inside of you when you went there. And for years, he would call me up. Even when we lived out here, he said, I'll never forget when you washed my feet. I'll never forget when you washed my feet. All I did was obey Jesus. I didn't think of the idea. The Lord said, would you do this? Because I knew he was really hurting. He was bleeding on the inside. He was so distraught with himself. He didn't know how to get there. And the Lord says, I know how to get him there. You do this. And he became a strong evangelist. He had a ministry where he would give, some of you in here may have received a Bible from him. He just had this ability to find Christian resources and send them all over the world from his own money and resources. Amazing. And the Lord does that for us. He says, I don't want you trapped in the shame that's defined you. I don't want you to be held down by the things that have held you back. That's Jesus, isn't it? And of course, lastly, Jesus is our life source. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is impossible for us to do the life of Jesus without the work of Jesus working in us to produce the life of Jesus. You and I need him to do it. How many of you have run into an attitude in your own heart? You realize, I have to surrender. Surrender this attitude of mine and allow his loving attitude to fill us. Let's go ahead and begin to serve the bread. Would you hold until all are served together? A few moments ago, I was promoting this idea that if the Lord is bringing up something in your life, that you begin to lay that before him. I want you to know something about the Lord. The Lord never exposes anything to shame you. He exposes something to free you. He never exposes anything to bring shame. He exposes it to bring it into the light. And it's full of grace how the Lord is. For anyone who has lost their passion, I'm asking your passion for Jesus, your passion for pursuing the Lord. Anybody who has lost their sense of drive or things have cluttered up or gotten in the way, I'm asking that this portion that you have in your hand reignite something. Can we just pray? Let's just pause our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit begin just to come upon you, and I'm going to go into the things that I feel in my spirit. I feel this as, I do not condemn you, honey. I do not condemn you. I want you to be released on the inside, to love me the way you desire. I have a sense inside that the Lord's here to place his hand on your shoulder or right behind your head there, your neck, and just begin to release his love into you. Would you open to that, whoever you are? Allow the Lord to minister to you. Jesus cares. There have been stresses in your life, and the Lord wants to release those stresses from you. There have been things that have been pushing or pulling. Things that come to be a weight. Holy Spirit, come. Flood every heart with the assurance of love that you have for each of us. Let's praise him, guys. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is the size of a mustard seed. This is a little cracker here. If it is your desire and you haven't walked with Jesus, but you want to begin walking with Jesus, today's your day. You just say, by faith, I choose to begin my life with Jesus Christ with this prophetic act, and I receive this portion of Jesus' life symbolically into my life. It says, I'm starting with Jesus. And in that, I want to say one thing. It's very simple. You say these words, as Paul said in Romans 10, he said, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, and believe it in your heart and you will be saved. He didn't say you had to go through some kind of an exam and get an A. He says you just believe that Jesus is Lord and he's risen from the dead. And if that's your heart cry today, then you're receiving salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the most precious reality that there is on earth, to reconnect with the Lord Jesus. If you're not, if that's something that you're saying, I don't want to do, then it'd probably be best to shove the cracker in your pocket and just get rid of it somewhere. Because this is a life beginning moment. Even though this is the Lord's table, it's not mine. You want to do this with faith. You want to honor him. So let's go ahead and lift it up. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who you are, but the burden's lifting off right now. It's coming off. It's coming off right now. It's coming off. There's several of you just have are burdened, and the Lord says, I'm just going to take it right now. You've been worshiping. You've been listening to the word, but there's something you've needed, and the Lord's ministering to you right now. He's lifting it. Let's go ahead and praise him for that. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The burden's leaving. It's been something that's been just an agitation in your life. The Lord says, I'm dealing with it. You worship me, and I'm going to go and deal with that. Praise the Lord. Lift up your praise and thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, come to me. Learn of me. My burden is light. Learn of me. This is what this message is about. This message of God will make something of you. Just spend time with him. Spend time with him. Now let's go ahead and partake together. Praise you, Jesus. Let's receive the cup and hold till all are served. Thank you, Lord. You're the burden bearer. Thank you, Lord. You're the healer. Thank you, Lord. You're the forgiver. You're the redeemer. You restore the soul. You do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Salvation is a complete work that God does for us that we cannot do for ourselves. I want to decree this over us, or just encourage you to be mindful of those that are struggling. Look, the devil is very tricky at harassing people. And he will mess with somebody and get them to blame somebody. And the people they're blaming are really not the people doing it. It's just a work of darkness that the devil tricks people into stuff. And it's usually the spirit of rejection. Well, they don't like you over there. If he really liked you, he'd have come over there and said something to you. Or he should have called me. Or they should have called me. If you're aware of somebody being beat up by a spirit of rejection, encourage them. Don't let them be taken out. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't see everything all the time. That's why you're full of love. You're the congregation. You care about people. You cherish people. Right? I just felt like I was supposed to exhort. Reach out. Minister. Care. Do the stuff. As Jesus has done it to you, do it for somebody else. Let me ask, is somebody having a burden lifted from their heart today? Is that happening? See, I had no idea until I got right there and the Lord says, I'm lifting burdens. He's just said it to me. He's lifting burdens. When I say what the Lord says, the Holy Spirit starts moving. Let's go ahead and praise Him again. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him for it. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And this cup represents one thing. It's the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is twofold. Number one, it cleanses us from sin. And it's the same that heals us from sickness. It's both for the body and the soul. For the body and the soul. So let's begin. Lift the cup and say, thank you, Lord, for the healing of my body and the cleansing of my soul. In Jesus' name, let's receive. It's real simple. We have a philosophy of ministry here. It's this. That if it's a pebble, if it's a little issue, you and Jesus, you can deal with it. But if it's a boulder, you may need some help. Pushing. Is that right? Is that simple? So let's lift our heads to the Lord right now. Say, Father God, we just praise you and thank you for every person who you've helped remove a pebble. We give you praise for the work of your Spirit in this place. We manifest our praise back to you for the way, things that you do in and through our and for us in our hearts that cause us to live in the brightness of your life, in the brightness of your light, and in the fullness of your presence and spirit. We thank you for that. And we come to be filled and refreshed and renewed. And now, Lord, every single person that has a boulder, we just right now, let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to dismiss. Let's go ahead and stand together. Lord, if there's a boulder, we just have a work of rejection or some kind of a work of restoration right now. In Jesus' name, we bring that before you and ask, Lord, as we come for prayer, that you would work. The Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody. They had a pain in their heart. Came upon them. They ended up on the carpet there for a little bit and got up. They started laughing. The Spirit of God was moved so greatly, they began laughing and just changed them. Then they walked out the door and they started praying in tongues. It was an amazing thing, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Went home, got up the next day, couldn't stop it, just started praying. The Lord wants to fill you with Himself and overflow you with His goodness. He just wants to make your life better. Jesus is the make your life better God. He wants to make your life better. He doesn't want you being in misery. Jesus is not the misery God. That's the other guys. All the other guys say, you got to try harder. You got to do this. There's a set of rules. You got to do it. Jesus said, no, I've done all of it for you. You come to me and I'll make it right. Amen.